get without a mammal module. So that's my reason for it. And then there. Exclusions were, 4C were not applicable to me. Susceptibility to inaccuracies, errors, or unintended consequences, I gave a C. I agree that there could be unintended consequences with that. Data collection strategy, 4C, I gave as a C. I think the points that were brought up are very good. To what extent was the criteria feasibility met? I gave that a C. I think that's it.
Okay. Thank you. So you can see what a challenge we have in front of us. These measures are hard to evaluate. And one of the things that, and then I'm going to ask Rebecca, since you're also in that review group, to comment on the measure, even if not item by item. But one of the challenges that this has been proposed as a suite of measures, if you will, with two other measures. But there, we've been given no specific instructions on how they might be interpreted as a suite. So even if all three were approved, the question is, what happens if you're high on one and low on another? So there's no guidance yet there.
Just this is one comment. Again, this notion of pairing is really, really good point. We don't actually know exactly what that means. We do have clear guidance on composite measures, where multiple measures come together with the idea of getting a single score at the end
right.
of the day. And at least from that perspective, because I think that might aid Carl's thinking, although again, they didn't present it as a composite, is that we individually evaluate each of the measures and then make a determination of whether that measure could stand alone or should really only be used as part of a composite. So I think at the end of this discussion, that would probably be the right piece. I still think it would be helpful, Rebecca, to go through the whole measure again, each of them separately, and then make the decision overall. But we probably do need guidance from the developer, as well as this group, about what does it mean that they would be reported
exactly.
together. Exactly.
Yeah, and in fact, there's some ambiguity as well, because they say they should be paired with cancer detection rate, recall rate, and PPV2, but then this measure has proposed two measures that are both called PPV2. So we'll need to, as a group, come to clarity on that. But Rebecca,
yes.
you want to give a...
I do, because my overview, I think I have a very different take than Carl. I would just start out by saying there is, there are programs that use these measures together. So the best example would be the National Screening Program in the UK, which uses cancer detection rate, PPV, and recall rate together. And basically, you have to have a minimum cancer detection rate. And if you don't, you're not doing well, then they try to balance that cancer detection rate with a recall rate that's acceptable. So, it's not that easy the way they do it, but they combine them together. They don't use it as a composite. They basically plot each facility and each radiologist in this space that includes both PPV and cancer detection rate. I think it's a very nice model that you guys could adopt. I actually like this measure a lot. I think the measure, if you had to ask women what the single most important thing about a mammogram was, they'd say to find cancer. And this tells you about finding cancer. So I think that this measure, if I could pick one, it wouldn't be in an efficiency pile. That's not efficient, but you want to find cancer, and so I care about this measure more than any others, and I'd be happy with this measure by itself. So I really like cancer detection, so I rated it as a C in terms of the importance of this measure. I think it's extremely important. Going through the numbers, Helen, did you want me to just give you my results? Do you want me to say them out loud?
If you just want to probably just say them out loud, especially
okay.
the discrepancies with what you know.
Okay, so I highlighted those. Carl went through. So for was the importance of the measure to report, I said yes, which is number one. Going down to number two, in terms of the specification of the measure, I think it's very good. In terms of, in terms of harmonization, I'm not sure about other measures that you guys have. I don't think there are any others,
yeah.
So that was kind of easy. Going into was the extent usability met, I gave it a C, which I think Carl may have as well. Going to 4B, electronic sources, I think all these data are available electronically, so I gave it a C. I'm actually looking for the risk. I keep going past that. So,
it was not risk adjusted.
Right. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. I'm going back up to 2. So 2A, 12 to 13, the people who submitted this measure said no risk adjustment was needed and then gave an explanation of breast cancer risk. from Bill Barlow's paper, which is not relevant. Risk adjustment is for this measure, and I think risk adjustment is absolutely needed for this measure. So I think it's a fabulous measure. I think risk adjustment is absolutely needed to make it a useful measure. And it doesn't need to be risk adjustment. It needs to be risk stratification, which is easier to do. And so there isn't a model to do risk adjustment, but there are models to do the stratification.
And if you propose stratifying it by age?
It needs to be stratified by two factors. It needs to be stratified by age and whether exams are first or subsequent. The relevance of that I can't really emphasize enough. There's a 2- to 3-fold to 4-fold difference in these variables based on age and first and subsequent. And you can imagine that facilities have a very different distribution of whether they see younger patients or older patients, or they see patients who come in every year at Kaiser for a mammogram and are subsequent screens versus a population that's an underserved population where they're trying really hard to get everyone in to come in once. And those variables are different. So I think it was a great measure, but I think it needs a stratification.
By risk stratification, you're not referring to breast cancer risk, correct?
That's correct.
But
Thank you.
That's the problem.
Well, they're talking about a breast cancer risk model,
which
not a model of a measure.
Right.
So those are they both have risk in the name, but otherwise they have nothing to do with each other.
Correct.
And I think what you're saying, if I could paraphrase, is that if you have a facility that's actually doing a really good job of getting everybody in at their recommended interval, they're going to have a lower cancer detection rate, and they would be that facility that's doing the right thing would be biased
against.
I would
say that the range of allowable values for this cancer detection rate include horrible care and off-the-chart good care. So that range needs a little more narrowing. And the reason they gave this range is because they haven't done the stratification. It's in a useless category at the moment. The range is too wide.
The fine-tuning on that range, which is more difficult to obtain but is really important, is minimal versus non-minimal cancer. That's your dusting. You can be in that range and be finding stage 4, you know, you can be, that's useless.
That would be the example that you'd get.
For mammography range, but, and as you alluded to, you may be at the lower end and be finding early cancer. So, but minimal cancer versus non-minimal is a very difficult metric to get.
There's another element to this. A feature of this is that the numerator requires a biopsy diagnosis of cancer. Now, what happens, that's a whole separate step and not a crack to fall through, but probably not a large crack. The one that's larger is what do you do with a place like the Sloan Kettering? Everything gets done in the same shop. But what do you do if the initial 4 or 5 is done in a little community hospital and immediately the patient's referred the Sloan Kettering for the biopsy? There's a big gap. And I know for sure that our record keeping isn't 100% in that area. That's why we're spending billions of dollars to get there. That contaminates the result.
It's also a very relevant thing when you're talking about, I was going to get to it when we got to 2H, disparities. So facilities that are underserved are much less likely to either find a cancer or to know about the cancers that they found.
Should there be stratification for ethnicity, too, is the question.
Mm-hmm. It's actually,
I don't know.
Cancer detection rates vary a lot by underlying race and ethnicity, but not in the ways that you would necessarily think that they vary. So to do what you're saying, there aren't data out there to create metrics, but in terms of this measure, biasing against facilities that have less resources, which is what you're raising, is a real consideration. To get at the racial ethnicity when those data don't exist.
But isn't it the responsibility of the primary place that orders or issues that biopsy 4 or 5 to follow up on those results, even if that biopsy is not done? That's part of recording what
right.
your...
The way that verbiage is stated is a reasonable effort. And if you're a small facility and you're sending a lot of your things out, that becomes a big problem to get if all your biopsies are done somewhere else, and this was a good example. that's not an issue in countries that have service fees. Because
right.
They're all attached. It's very easy. We don't have that.
So that facility may get a lesser rate
Correct.
If you use a measure like
Correct.
This because they're
Correct.
Not going
Correct, because they don't know. Or they don't know, they can't find it.
But isn't that something that you want to know about that facility, that they're not able to track?
Yes, but that may be an unintended consequence. They may be doing something very correct in defining a 405, but they
right.
may not have the resources to search. If you're
so
going,
then they can't detect their history.
Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So let me take a stab then at summarizing the discussion of on this measure to this point, because I think it'll be important to go through all of the MAMO measures and then come back to a global discussion, is that the general sense I'm getting is that there's some value in measuring cancer detection rate, probably in combination with other measures. There's issues about stratification by first screen or subsequent screen and by age. There's issues about how the data would actually be collected, registry data, claims data, et cetera. But I think as a group, at least, we have, is it fair to say, we have a sense of what this measure is trying to accomplish and what some of the issues are, and it would be all right to move on to the next measure.
Very second.
Okay.
No, I'm really not. I just ask a few clarifying questions. Question number one, since you like the measure, I'll direct it your way, but anybody can pipe in. I'm getting a relative magnitude. It appears that this rate would vary much more depending on the stratus that you're talking about, age of patients, ethnicity, except first versus follow-up screening, than anything to do with the quality of the reader, meaning that, in fact, the degree to missed, if your concern is that this is a reflection of missed cancers that were there that were missed, that rate would be, we would imagine, relatively low relative to the magnitude 3-, 4-, 5-fold variation depending on if you're first or second or very young versus very old population.
Yes.
So if this is to reflect quality in terms of the reader, I would argue that this probably is dwarfed without risk stratification
yes.
by
I think that's right.
the underlying population.
Yeah. No, I think
that's one clarifying question.
Yeah.
And as it written, it doesn't stratify.
But we could propose
we
that.
We'll talk about that. I'm not so sure that that isn't a remarkable rewrite of this.
Oh, it's not a remarkable rewrite when there's a fourfold difference.
We don't need to answer it, but for example, we could say the measure would be acceptable if it was reported by decade age strata and first or repeat screen.
It
we don't need to have
those,
a model.
Those variables
just,
that
yeah.
would be needed
yeah.
in this case are available for every mammogram. You know the
right.
age of the woman, and you know if it's first or subsequent, pretty much.
Right.
You know, that's pretty good. So it's not a fancy.
We can argue, we can maybe take offline sometimes discussion if that's whether fits rewrite or not.
On the stratification, you need a number of hits for it to be valid. When you start teasing decades of age out, you're going to need a lot more in that age group to make a meaningful data analysis. That's why it's done as a group.
Yep.
And may not be as stratified useful for a single facility.
Great.
So
just one more clarifying question, and I'll stop.
Before we leave stratification,
yeah.
the argument against stratifying is, which is probably not valid, but assume that everyone has the same general mix if you aggregate up against large enough groups. So some people have argued that.
Yes.
And we could reject that.
Right.
I would reject it. But that has been proposed. That,
right.
Well, you know, if you look at facilities, everyone's got about the same mixture across a large enough group. So just for perspective,
right.
that argument has been proposed by some people.
Just make a point that Dr. Bassett and anybody else makes sure we'll have a chance to respond after
we
get
perfect. Well,
yeah.
you're hearing it all. This is
yeah,
good.
Hear
so we'll
all
get
this and, we'll
and then the other just as an unintended consequence question, because you, actually your ranking of that was kind of interesting, because I thought if I heard you right, you said it had potential unintended consequences, but you gave it a C. So that just as a positive-negative thing,
yeah.
I guess I would have said it the opposite. If it does have unintended consequences, it should be ranked as not scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You want under you want undetected.
What do you look again? I may have been drunk at that.
No, you couldn't tell the way to get like which way.
Right.
How many drinks you
have? It is clearly
amazing all of this. This is being recorded. It's being recorded. So I'm going to propose that we take a break. We're on schedule for a break. We'll take about a 10-minute break. We can come back to conclude our. Will you finish with
So the unintended consequences portion of this that you were concerned about are that In fact, if you do mark, let's take it to the extreme, every one of your tests positive and you send every woman onto a biopsy, your score here would be good because you'd
hopefully.
You'd hopefully find every cancer, assuming the system worked. At the downside of every woman having now the negative effects that we've heard in the news so much. So that, in fact, this measure has the very strong potential of encouraging overreading as opposed to, you know, it marks against underreading.
If used in isolation.
People use this measure just to sort of to put it into context. There's a very nice breast cancer program going on in Chicago to figure out, it's a unified effort across the city of everyone who provides breast cancer care. They found that their cancer detection rates at their hospitals were really, really low. So they were basically missing all the cancers. So it's more of something that you think about at the extreme of they're providing services but they're not finding cancer. Is there a major quality problem at the low end rather than at the high end pushing so many recalls that you find more cancer? At some point, recalling more women, you don't tend to find it.
But I think that in trying to figure out what the efficiency is, it's both under and overuse that we're trying to get a better, what's that middle
This particular
measure
and this doesn't so much push the overuse.
It's really
the other ones, the other four measures.
I don't think this would cause overreading, because you have to have a confirmed diagnosis. If you screen everybody and send them all to the pathologist, that doesn't mean that they're all going to come back positive. If you overread, you're going to have a lower rate because your numerator will go down because you won't be able to get the tissue diagnosis.
I think really this is a balancing measure against recall rate, whereas if we want, say, to achieve recall rates below 10%, for example, one way to do that is to miss a lot of cancer. So if you
this is a fail safe on the lower
on that.
I mean, if you look at an ROC curve, it's very clear. As your false positives go up, what happens to your false negatives? They go down. And that's exactly what is being said here. As you get close in an ROC curve asymptotically to the top, the price you pay to get one or two more cancers is massive. So most people operate in the middle of an ROC curve because they realize that if I operate here, I'm going to miss. If I operate up here, it doesn't pay for what I'm doing to get the cancer.
Yeah. And, in fact, from the last meeting when we did consider recall rate, the feedback that came from the steering committee as well as the mammography community at large was you can't possibly have recall rate unless you also have cancer detection rate. And that's why it is hard to discuss these alone because they really do need to be considered together.
I just wanted to throw out a vignette. I mean, I think measures are really important. Damage and consequences, I think, are really significant. On one hand, you could just throw the measure out there, see what storm develops. But I was medical reference at QHC. We had a breast cancer grant. Texas Medicaid doesn't cover undocumented women for cancer treatment or biopsy. So if you get the mammo, detect it, we'd have low cancer detection rates and barrier citizenship status. And then you add financial resources on top of that. Grant funding depends on measures. Their compliance standards where it's like 95% wants to track every patient. Bureau of Primary Healthcare, which funds FQHCs, is launching a big push for tracking quality metrics, hasn't been tied to funding yet, maybe down the road. So how this is interpreted could really impact the safety net system quite severely if used in the wrong way.
Find out about cancers because they were not documented?
Because we couldn't get funding to get a biopsy. Mm-hmm. So we could even get the mammograms for a charitable organization, but getting emergency, we have to get a biopsy, and if they have cancer, get emergency Medicaid to pay cancer treatment. But if they're not documented, meaning not citizens, they can't get Medicaid, so how do you get a biopsy?
But they really don't need a mammogram. That's a pretty silly
use. Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't let that kind of a perverse system affect our thinking about the measure. I think we could go on this measure forever.
As a base, I know you said the most, you know, the thing that a woman wants when she goes to get a mammo is that cancer is found, cancer detection. And my question would be, is it that cancer, you know, it's a place that has a high cancer incidence, or is it a place that is better on PPV2 so that she has, you know, faith in the radiologist's judgment, right? It's you're balancing, the concern of a negative I mean, it seems to me that what I really want to know is that when they say I have cancer or say I have an issue or say I don't have an issue, they're right as compared to this wild population.
And then about, that gets into our next two
right.
measure, next couple of measures.
I agree with you. Women don't, for better or worse. They
Let's go ahead and take a 10-minute break, if we could, because I think otherwise we'll just spend the rest of 2 days on the first measure.
Thank you. But yes,
Oh, March 3rd.
Yeah,
tonight.
But at that pace, we're not going to.
No, the first 2 a.m.
First one always takes longer.
Yeah, mammograms always a tough one.
Could we go ahead and get started, please? Helen, we need a bell. Rebecca and Michael.
Oh my God! What did Jill say?
Someone's on the phone.
They didn't even get the call.
I heard somebody saying, "What did Jill say?" Is there someone on the phone? Helen, is there supposed to be someone on the phone here?
I've just asked our methodologist to call.
Okay, because I heard somebody say something very loudly and then not respond. Hello? Hello?
I think it's Jill's friend.
Can anyone else hear this phone?
There was
sounds kind of got away.
Heard a voice.
They're hallucinating.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started again. Because the other measure in review group one, which was number nine, Rebecca's, is proposed by CMS and not the ACR, we're going to go on to the other three that were proposed by the ACR. We'll discuss the four total from the ACR as a group after we go through each one individually. Then we'll allow Larry Bassett from the ACR to comment after we've all commented, and then we can talk about our feeling of those four as a group.
Do you think the ACR might be able to say a word or two about this measure before we go on?
No, I think we want to go through all of the four first, and we talked during the break about that. So, all right, so the next one, which is number 002-10, title, screening mammography, positive predictive value 2, and it is described as being the percentage of screening mammograms with abnormal interpretation that result in a diagnosis of cancer within 12 months. It's actually defined in terms of the numerator and denominator slightly different from that. So the numerator is the number of screening mammograms with a BI-RADS 4 or 5 or a BI-RADS 0 associated with a 4 or 5 on a diagnostic mammogram. So basically, a positive screening mammogram that result in cancer within 12 months. And the denominator is defined as the number of screening mammograms with a 4 or 5 or 0, and the 0 has to be associated with a 4 or 5 on a diagnostic. So it's basically the positive screening mammograms denominator, numerator is the subset of those that have cancer. So the first thing I'll say is that in the literature, this might be called the PPV1, and so there's going to be some confusion about that for those of you who are familiar with the literature on those measures. So in terms of my evaluations, I thought for 1A, importance to measure and report. Let me make an overall comment first. There's two very similar measures, this one and the next one. They're both called PPV2. I think this is really PPV1, and the next one is PPV2. I'm going to score this in isolation, but as a preface, I'm going to say that if I had to choose between the two, my choice would be for the next one. Okay, but I'm going to score this in isolation. So I thought for 1A, I gave it a C in terms of importance to measure and report. For 1B, I gave it a C, and for 1C, the relationship to outcomes, I gave it a P for partial, because I think for all the reasons that we've discussed before, it's only partially collected the outcome. In the text of the proposal, the measure developers suggest that it should be combined with other measures, and we've already talked about that, though there's no clear guidance on what that would mean. I don't think we're envisioning a composite measure so much as reporting of the three individually, but that hasn't been addressed. And then for the global one, importance to measure and report, was it met? I said yes. Okay, then for measure specifications, 2A, precisely specified, I said yes. 2B, reliability testing, I said partially because it was my impression that the text in the measure was talking about really the reliability of BI-RADS and not the reliability of the proportional measurement, and so I would give that a P. For validity, I gave it, I'm sorry, for 2C, the validity meaning the relationship of this measure to outcomes, I gave it an M for minimal because I didn't see that there was a connection between this measure and outcomes of concern. And then for exclusions, NA, data sample, NA. Identification of meaningful difference in performance, 2F, I gave that an M. They do cite ranges from the literature, although I think there's a typo. They cite a range for PPV2, notwithstanding the comments I made about the confusion between the two measures labeled PPV2 of 5 to 10%. And from the article that was cited, it's 25 to 40%. So I believe that's a typo in this one and in some of the other measures.
If it's a screening measure,
yeah,
then it should be the lower.
Right, but the screening measure would be PPV1. So that's the confusion. So.
But we're assuming that this measure is PPV1.
Right. I think we have to. For 2G, multiple data sources, I'm not sure how to evaluate that, so I gave that an N, but it could have been an NA. And for disparities, I gave that an NA. So for the overall, to what extent was the criterion scientific acceptability of measure properties met, I gave it a P for the reasons I just stated. Then for 3A, the current use one, I gave it a C. Although there was some question I had as to whether or not this could actually be done everywhere as opposed to at the sites participating in the ACR, National Mammography Database, and the BCSC. For harmonization, hard to evaluate because I think the proposed...
Can you just extend on that?
Yeah, so the way I interpreted that question... 3A was that it could be used in a public reporting initiative, and there's a lot of text there about the BCSC and the National Mammo Database, but there's no text to indicate what percentage or what proportion of sites in the country participate in one of those two. So it wasn't clear to me that this is usable.
But I think it could be.
It
right?
could
so
be.
Some of the math, I think yeah. they don't cite the right literature,
right?
But I think it could be.
And I gave universal. It a C. I did give it a C. It's okay. Just I raised that question based on the okay. on the text. For now, let's see, 3B harmonization. I gave it a P, and it was hard for me because it's really not harmonized with existing measures so much as harmonized with others that are proposed. But I think it's harmonized with the intent there's the intent of harmonization. Distinct or added value, I gave it a C. I thought that it was clear that it did. Data set, data generated, so my overall for 3, what extent was the criterion usability met was a P, again, for the reasons I said. For my view, you got to get a C on everything to get a C for the overall. Okay, and then for 4, data generated as a byproduct, I thought it was 4A, clear, that the data elements could be generated as a byproduct of the care process, but may not entirely be now, based on the issue of the cancer rate. So I gave that a P, cancer detection. Electronic sources, I gave that, again, a P, because I think the feasibility of using those existing electronic data sources is there, but I don't think everybody is using them yet. Exclusions NA, strategy NA.
Oh, NA.
Because there weren't any. I think there were a lot of, to what extent were the criteria of feasibility met? I gave that a P as well. I gave it a P leaning towards the C, to be honest with you, because I think that it may be close to feasible. I'm just concerned about some sites that may not have access to the full panoply of electronic data registries and sources. And then for my overall, do you recommend it for endorsement? I gave it a yes. With the proviso, I know we're not allowed to give it this proviso on an individual measure, but with the proviso that either this or the real PPV2, my preference would be that real PPV2, the next measure, should be paired with recall rate and cancer detection rate. It's a quick run through. Now, leaving all the boxes and scores, here's my gestalt on it. It's a valuable measure, not in isolation. If it's being paired with other measures, I think it does add value, but if it is being paired with other measures, I'd rather see us use the next measure, the PPV2, and not this one. So let's see. Mary, my comments?
Yeah, so I'm going to be the primary reviewer for
First, any other comments on this measure before the next one?
I have no comments.
My only thing is how much are we looking at, one being a measure of screening mammography and one being a measure of diagnostic mammography, and those are, to me, really two different target audiences amongst, if we operate within the context of this is information for the public, then, you know, they may be thinking much more about going and getting a screening mammogram, whereas as healthcare professionals are thinking much more about, you know, PPV2, which is, or, you know, how good are you at picking it once you get it. So, to me, it's just two completely different populations that you're looking at. I mean, in one, you should be hitting one out of four, so to speak, and in the other, you're hitting, you know, one out of 20.
I think that the measure we just discussed with the PPV1 sort of leads into the PPV2 because it takes all comers of the pie, whereas once you move over to diagnostic mammography, it's a purer measure.
Right.
So I'm not so sure whether excluding the other one, if we were able to tweak it a little bit, is necessary because they're actually targeting two different things.
Are there any other comments from the group on this measure? And I forgot to mention, please give your name when you're commenting, if you could, for the recording.
The only thing, just a question. You skip by the instructions are hard. This is Rebecca Smith. Just to comment on whether or not, to the degree that cancer detection rate needs to be stratified by age, do you want to just comment on whether that needs to be the case for PPV1? I mean, it varies by age. So the PPV1 of mammography in women who are in their 40s is about 2-3%. The PPV1 for women in their 70s is about 8-9%.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty big range in that. It's not as important as for cancer detection rate or for recall rate because they go a little bit in tandem. So they both go up together. So when you're dividing them, there's maybe a little bit less error. But
So that wasn't addressed in the measure. And the only thing I would say, and so I'm not sure I'm not sure that I could comment on it from a sufficiently educated viewpoint, except to say that if we are proposing these as a group, a group of three or two or four or whatever, it would see, and if we're saying at least one of them needs to be reported by, for example, Strata, that they all probably ought to be, would seem reasonable to me.
So, Ray Gibbons, just to follow up on that point, because I'm having a hard time understanding when you're describing what seems to be a known narrow range, how this will spur quality improvement. If you now start talking about risk stratification, how many patients do you have to have a reasonable precision to ever use this for quality improvement?
So, those data were not presented, so I'm not sure we can answer that question based on data. However, an average site would do what number of mammograms
within. I can address that based on the data, and your point is very well taken. So the average facility size in the U.S. is between 1 and 2,000. It's a median size. So in the, and there are a fair number, 25% of those who are very small. And the very small facilities won't possibly have enough cancers to get at cancer detection rate, let alone cancer detection rate to find out. So I think this has to be limited to a certain size. And that will, by definition, throw out at least a quarter of the cases.
So out of the 1 or 2,000, how many are positive? Because that's the denominator in this study.
Right.
No, the denominator is easy. Because out of the 2,000 mammograms, there'll be 300-400 that are positive. It's the numerator of the number of cancers that's the trick in this.
The denominator is positive.
That's easy.
Screening mammograms.
Okay, so 300-400, you're saying, is...
will be positive. The denominator, if you have a 10 to 15% positive rate of the denominator, it'll be about 150 per thousand to 300 in the 2,000 example. So that'll be about 2,000. The numerator would be something like...
Yeah, so I'm just trying to work through the math.
It's a very
we're down into single digits.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think this measure is also, this is Mary Gimignani, I think this measure is also getting at how often are you calling it an abnormal mammogram just on any facility that comes in, and how often are you really having a cancer out of you calling a BI-RADS 4 or 5. So if you use it in isolation, probably to the point that's been discussed, probably not such an effective number. But if you use it in conjunction with your cancer detection rate, then you're getting more at how many abnormal tests are you really, false positives are you really doing?
But the question about how applicable this is for small facilities and how many facilities are small.
But I guess I'm just missing, why is it not a reasonable measure in extent by itself? Because this is a meaningful number to patients. I want to know how many times, if you call me in and tell me I have a positive study, how many of those will really end up being cancer? That's a number that's meaningful.
If your target is 4%, that is the target, or 5%, you need to have a large enough sample size that my estimate of your 4 or 5% is around.
And the target is 4 or 5% because?
That's as good as it gets. That's the number. That is the average PPG across the market.
So you know, if you think of an ROC curve, one way to get a really high PPV is to operate towards the specificity side of your ROC curve, which is to have too high a positivity threshold. And so if basically it takes an awful lot to get you to call it positive, everything you call positive is going to truly be positive. And so in isolation, you might have a high positive predictive value, but you'd have a really low cancer detection rate.
When you're looking for something that is potentially lethal with a very small prior probability, almost by definition, when you're screening for that, your net's going to have to pull in a lot of things that are not related to that. If the prior probability of cancer was 50%, you can have a very wide net and you have a pretty good pickup rate. When you go down to 3 or 4 prior probability of malignancy per 1,000, your net has to be very, very large to catch a reasonable sample of those malignancies, especially when you add the early. So there's no way you're going to drop the false positives and do that.
So I'm just trying to get this again. So a good score here is 96% wrong. A bad score is what?
Say 92% wrong. You're going to say really good.
Because of
it's not wrong, Eric.
I'm just asking. So this is the range. So we're talking about 92% to 100% wrong. That's what the range we're talking about measuring.
Right.
Okay, trying to get this down.
Just basically a low prevalence.
So if you went to a facility and your wife went in and said, hey, Eric, this place is wrong 90% of the time. The other place is wrong only 98% of the time. I would say go to the place that's wrong more often. That's what I would say to my wife.
Probability of detecting the cancer.
Correct.
But going to that.
Depending on whether or not they're moving on the same ROC curve or on different curves.
I'm assuming that they also have all the same knowledge.
Ray, I'm sorry to just keep harping on this point, but if the numbers are going to exclude 25% of cancer facilities in the country, do we have any data as to where there are quality problems with respect to facility size? Because much of what else we have in medicine suggests that volume helps drive quality and low volume helps lead to low quality. So I'm concerned about a measure that might exclude 25% of facilities in the country.
So what is the volume that's required for certification?
The volume is only at the radiologist level, not the facility level. So the radiologist level is just about 500 mammograms per year. And it turns out the facility averages are about twice that. So your question about whether or not there's an association with volume and facilities, there hasn't been strong data to look at that. I have two large papers on my desk that are looking at that. And the answer is that's not clear. But your concern that the facilities, that it could be a problem, we don't have a tool to measure the quality, is inherently one of the statistical sample size and the ability to.
But you bring up a very good point. There are several articles that try and relate experience with performance metrics. And what they found overall is that there is not that close a relationship. But it appears that if you're reading about 2 to 25, and this is data from Linda Warren Barheny in British Columbia, who has a large screening population there. If you're reading about, each individual is reading about 2 to 2,500, they are doing better in that group than the ones who are doing less. The UK requires 5,000, and there's no real solid data of a linear orientation with number of performance other than that rate that British Columbia reported about 2 to 2,500 per individual. But that's another country, another whole set of circumstances. So it's not a linear relationship.
Okay. Are there other comments on this measure, number two, before we go on to measure number three, which is a very similar measure? Hearing none, Mary.
This is Mary Gimignani. I'm going to review measure number 3-10. And I think a lot of the points that we brought up for the previous measure are definitely applicable for this measure, and this measure is actually probably the easiest one of all because it's working off of diagnostic mammography as opposed to the screening in general. So it is a subset of patients that already have an abnormal mammogram, and you really want to determine biopsy-proven cancers within this subset. So the numerator is cancer, and the denominator is anyone who has a BI-RADS 4 or 5 mammography. So having said that, I'll move on through some of the reviews. And looking at number one, so as far as eliminate overuse while ensuring delivery of appropriate care, so that is 1A, 1 through 3. So 1A is completely agree. For the opportunity for improvement, I think that this one also gets a C. Outcomes or evidence to support measure focus. The writers of this do mention that sometimes we use recall rates in comparison with this, and how using a recall rate individually can cause controversies for the evaluation of mammography in centers. So they do bring this up, and I think that that was a good thing to sort of bring up in the measure, so I put it as a C. So was this threshold criterion important to measure overall for measure quality measure number one is yes. The scientific acceptability of measure and properties, which is number two, I put C for 2A, which is basically looking at, again, the target population and the denominator. And then 2B was a C for the testing and analysis that they used. And for validity testing, I put C. exclusions justified. There were really no exclusions for this, so we put it as an NA. And then there was really no discussion of risk adjustment on this here. So I put it as an NA, and it sort of comes back to what our discussion was. It should be looking at some stratification of this. So for 2F, it's C, and then to multiple data sources and methods, that was NA. And there was no disparities in care statement with this, so that was an NA. So overall, for the scientific acceptability, I put it as a C. Usability, most centers do have data on this and how many that they actually have biopsy tissue on, and so I think that being able to obtain this data should not be unfeasible, so I gave it a C. And then for harmonization, I didn't see any harmonization that I could sort of find, and so I gave it as an NA, and then again, we've had a lot of discussion so far about whether we should be using these in relation to each other. So as far as its individual value, I think out of all of them, this is probably the one that could most likely stand on its own, but would be best with conjunction of the other measures we talked about. So overall, for usability, I gave it a C. For feasibility, for 4A, I gave it a C. And then I had some questions, and it came up in discussion. For 4B, I gave it a partial P, because if we came up with this discussion,